Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Tuesday night, and guess what? He's back, I'm back, we're all back, you're back. It's the Bay Ragney Show, and we're going to be talking to my good friend, Mr. Rob Carlisle, which I got to throw a little thing out here, a little tidbit, a little nugget to Rob in a few seconds. I just realized that it's kind of scary. But anyway, tonight's show and all of our shows is brought to you by Bombers and Sleeves, and they are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down, and they wear it all on their sleeves. Go to Bombers. Yeah, I screwed that one up. Bombersandsleeves.com. Bomb your boundaries today. Shop bombersandsleeves.com. So here he is, the man of the hour, the one and only Mr. Crazy Rob Carlisle of the Compulsions. Dude, the hell is going on? Good to see you. Doing this a lot more than over the phone. I get to see you. We get to see, like, expressions.
Yeah, it's good. We do it more often. What's the scary thing, though?
So the scary thing is, and you know, I get to see your face. Next week is 4 years since you came to Philly that time and played that show.
Oh, has it been that long?
I didn't realize that. I thought it was, like, 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, I would have thought 2 years ago. Yeah. That is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
When are we doing another? Well, I want to do it. I love Nashville, man.
Like,
that's the town for music, you know. Yeah.
So how far the train ride to Nashville is it from New York is the question.
Yeah. I mean, right now everything seems like an eternity, but yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad you were able to do this and, you know, usually every time we do one of these interviews, me and you, we end up sitting and talking about somebody that you have ties to, and there's like this parallel connection of sorts going on with you, the Compulsions, and Guns N' Roses. Whether you guys share members, musical styles, musical influences, the fact that Duff and Slash love the Compulsions, there's all types of factors in that. And we always discuss Guns N' Roses, but I wanted to go a different direction tonight. Something we really never touched on. And there's another major musical connection that you have. And they're currently up for nomination for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which truly blows me away. We lost one of the founding members last month.
Yeah.
And we never talk about your connection with the New York Dolls.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's been a couple of guys I've, in case anybody doesn't know, I've had Sammy Yafa playing bass in the Compulsions on stage and on record, and also a bit more recently, Brian Delaney, the drummer from the Dolls. I mean, I love the Dolls. I mean, if you love rock and roll, the Dolls are rock and roll. How do you not, you know, how do you not tip your hat to the Dolls? I love the Dolls. What did you want to talk about?
All right, so let's rewind to
I mean, they never got their day back in the day.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably more famous now than they were, you know, when they came out. That's the way from the books that I've read and the stories that I've heard, it was real tough for them. So to see them even nominated is like that's awesome, you know.
I was blown away when I heard they were nominated. I was like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Did it take Sylvain passing away to all of a sudden get this love, I feel?
I don't. I think those kind of decisions are made like months. He just passed, right? And then that announcement just got made. So I would guess that those decisions are made, you know, they're talking about that for maybe even years before it finally comes through. You know what I mean? So that's my hunch.
Did you know Sylvain at all? Any Sylvain
No. I think I met him once or twice, but I didn't, you know, I keep to myself when I meet, like, you know, people that are, you know, famous or in bands and stuff like that. I've been let down by meeting a few guys. So I just stay away. But doesn't mean I'm not a fan, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, how about, I got to ask, because you mentioned this guy, you know, he's played on your albums, you shared a stage with him. I mean, to me, Sammy Yaffa is one of my all-time favorite bass players. I don't think he's another person, I don't feel like it's his just due as a bass player. And his former band, Hammering Rocks. I mean, Hammering Rocks and the New York Dolls, I feel, are two of the greatest rock and roll bands ever, and they don't get the love they deserve. And what's it like when you're, you work on an album with Sammy, or you're, even more importantly, you share a stage with him, you look over and you're like, holy shit, that's Sammy Yaffa playing bass with me.
I'm not really thinking about that when we're playing. I'm just like, I just want to get the song right. he's tremendous, you know. I mean, all the guys I've played with, both famous, semi-famous, and not that famous, you know, I try and pick awesome dudes. Some have just had, more illustrious careers than others. You know, if we could figure out the where's and the why's about that, then, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, and one you probably can't figure out anyway. I love playing, you know, love playing with Sammy. Yeah, he's awesome.
Does he ever, like, tell you, like, you know, in Hammering Rocks, we did this, or in the New York Dolls, we did this?
No, that would never happen. I mean, I think to those guys, I mean, to guys that play in bands, like, honestly, I think it's just a job. Like, you know, fans don't look at it but like that way. But like, to, you know, musicians and session musicians and shit like that, it's just a fucking job, man. You know, they're working for IBM or they're working for Apple. You know, they have a job in the industry and they're working for one of the leaders. You know, one of the best. I don't know that anybody that actually plays the instruments themselves has any kind of as much, you know, nostalgia and all that stuff as a quote unquote fan, you know? I'm just hoping the band sounds good when I is, you know, I'm like, it sounds good up here or it sounds like shit up here. I hope it sounds good out there. I'm not thinking that kind of stuff.
You know, it's funny you said that, like, how, you know, to them it's kind of like a job. Like you said, like, I didn't realize that for so many years.
They would never admit that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
But it's a fucking job.
Yeah. You know, it took me, you know, I was probably in my late 30s before it finally clicked with me. And I said, you know, like, when you were seeing, like, the bands from the 80s that were playing arenas and they're coming around and playing your local bar to 200 people. And then you say to yourself, like, why are they doing it? Then you realize this is their freaking job. This is what they do to make a living.
Right.
And it puts things in a real perspective. Like, it is their job.
Yeah.
So, makes you look at it completely different.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just, you're working for Coke, you're working for Pepsi. You got to work for one of them, you know? So,
right.
In that industry. So it's kind of the same thing.
True. So, all right. So let's get to the compulsions. Ferocious. So the word on the street is you're pretty freaking perfect. You're getting a 10 out of 10 rating in Power Play magazine. Come on.
I know. We had just gotten a 9 out of 10 in Viva La Rock, which is like a very, you know, well-respected, esteemed music magazine. People should pick it up. It's an awesome mag, as is Power Play also. Power Play is a little more hard rock. And metal, and Viva La Rock is more like, you know, exactly what you would imagine from the title, more like, you know, punk and glam and stuff. So yeah, we just gotten a 9 out of 10 from Viva, and that was amazing. And then Power Play wrote to me, and they were like, "Yo, you're getting a 10 out of 10, and we don't give those away." So, I'm grateful, you know.
So they actually gave you the heads up too. That's cool.
Sometimes you get the heads up. Well, it's out. It's out now. I don't know if it's out in the States with the COVID delay and everything. Like I said, it's over in England. Both of them. And I think they're both on newsstands right now. If you can find them with everything that's going on in the world today.
Yeah, about that. Usually like Barnes and Noble carries Power Play magazine.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like you said, I don't know with COVID if it's screwed up or not, but I know I saw on your website you actually do have a link so that people can purchase the issue.
That's right. Yeah. You can order it. So my mom got a copy. No. Yeah, you could order it.
So all right. So, you know, you get a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, tremendous freaking reviews. The album came out in November. Like, when you start getting the feedback about that, like, all right, it makes you feel good and all, but do you start to hear the feedback from the fans as well? Do you start seeing more streams, more sales, more et cetera?
Yeah, you do. You definitely see a spike in sales. You definitely see a spike in streams and all that stuff. I haven't been out on the street all that much to run into anybody. So, you know, you don't get that kind of feedback. But, yeah, you see the numbers online going up, and that's cool. You know, it's always a pleasure when you know, you do it for yourself, but when, like, other people like it, you know, it kind of blows your mind. And it's an honor and a thrill. You know, there's no other way to say it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And dude, who was it? It was Sleaze Rocks. I saw one of the guys over there put you in the top 5 albums of 2020.
Yeah, he gave us top 5. I mean, I've long story short, I had to go back and look at some old Compulsion stories recently, and I did see that we got a 10 out of 10 a few years ago on something else. We got a top albums of the years, you know, and you forget about all this stuff because you're just like, it's, you know, you just always want more, but then you look back and you're like, you know what, we actually did pretty good. So for a band that's got, you know, no management, no label, you know, no rich daddy, you know, just me and my wits and just, you know, trying to write the best songs I possibly can and get the best people to play on them. And you know, when it comes back, the people are digging it, you know, it means a lot, you know, it's very cool.
Absolutely. So something too, that we talked about last time, you were saying there was a top secret show you were getting ready to do.
Oh yeah. No, I had done a show, in September, and, it was, you know, it's all lockdown, restrictions and everything. So part of that was, you couldn't advertise the show. So it had to be basically passerby traffic. Yeah, and you know, windows open, and that's the way a lot of venues that were even having music were kind of doing it around here on the street level. And it was fun, you know. Some places are still doing it, but like, it's pretty cold out. I don't know, you know. And people did come out for the show, so it was really cool. But to see friends that you hadn't seen in a while and fans that you hadn't seen in a while, because, you know, it had been months since the pandemic had hit at that point. I guess you could still do it now, but I don't know. It's February. So I'm just kind of laying low when it comes to that.
You know, it's crazy. Last week here in Nashville, it was 8 degrees, snow and ice. Today it was 70.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's nuts.
And we were talking last night real briefly. You said, like, the venues are having, the acts are playing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not full capacity. It's like probably 50%. And there's like certain restrictions. You can't be like on the dance floor or in front of the stage. Or I don't know. I really haven't ventured out for that part yet.
So what's like Broadway like?
It's like a tenth of what it normally is.
Okay.
I mean, usually, like, you know, if you go down there, especially like on a Friday or Saturday night, it's like Times Square. Like, the road is shut off, and, you know,
right,
forget it.
Right.
You go down there now, you know, it's like stragglers walking around.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think many of us are just, you know, sitting it out and seeing, you know, what's happening. I mean, it seems, I feel like, I hope that things are on the upswing. But as far as the time frame, you know, it's, who can say, you know?
No one knows. I saw there's a rumor going around, you know, this big arena Motley Crue tour that's supposed to happen this summer. You know,
right.
I've been saying there's no way it's going to happen. Supposedly now it's going to be turned into an online event.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're in this for another couple of minutes, it seems like. It's pretty mind-numbing, I'm sure, for everybody else out there. But there's, you know, nothing else you can really do.
Yeah, this is true. So I mean, how about that? Like, that's got to, like, the frustration of a normal person, you know, going through what we're going through this past year. On top of it, you put out this 10 out of 10 album, and normally you would be, you know, grinding, playing shows and hustling to get the word out there more, possibly touring in Europe or doing whatever. And now you're like, you know, like you said, with the windows open, hoping somebody hears the music.
Exactly, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's, but I don't really have another solution. I don't think anyone does at this point, you know, keep trying to book stuff. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen this summer, you know?
Yeah, like, do you even think about doing that? Maybe possibly trying to book stuff and then think in your head, like, I don't have to cancel it?
Yeah, I can't even put together in my head. I can't even imagine booking a rehearsal, honestly. No. Yeah, I'm like, I just can't even get it together for that. I can't see asking guys to be in a room together and rehearse for a show that may or may not happen. You know, it just seems crazy. You'd be better off doing something else. Make a video, write another song, or, you know, do a video show or something, you know, do an online show, do something. But the live shows, it's tough to play and expect to draw a crowd when everything that's going on out there. So
have you thought of that, though, maybe doing an online thing?
I've thought about it. I'm thinking of that. That may happen. That's one of the things on the table to put that together. You know, I think that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, because especially you do have, you know, major worldwide fans. It's not just limited to the States. So, you know, this way you can reach all at one shot.
Yeah, we could do something. I guess it would be on me to figure that out and put that together. So
you are the man.
Yeah, I'm what?
You are the man.
Yeah, I'm. That's one thing I haven't learned how to put on is an online show. But, you know, maybe it'll come to that. If people want it, they'll get it.
People are doing it. I keep seeing more and more doing it. They're streaming it. They're doing it.
Yeah.
So what other things you working on? Any new music? Or I know people talking about, like, you had some stuff.
I was putting together another band before the pandemic actually took hold. I was making like a blues band, and it was very much, you know, in the Compulsions, you know, feel or whatever, but a little less of the AC/DC influence and a little less of the punk rock influence and just a little bit more about, you know, R&B and the blues and funk. And stuff like that, maybe a little southern rock, country, folk, and all that. So it was that side of the Compulsions, and I had put together a lineup, and we have material that is almost ready to be released. So that was kind of what I was doing when the pandemic hit, and that's something that I'm working on now also. And then the other thing that I do a lot is, man, I've just been playing guitar a lot, like, practicing and learning how to do stuff that I didn't know how to do before. So I haven't been writing songs, to be honest with you. I feel like I have so many songs already halfway done that God willing, I'll be able to finish before, you know, I'm done on this planet. So there's no need to make more and then just sit there wishing and hoping that those are going to get done. I have a real good amount that I'd like to finally, you know, polish off and get out there. So I find a way to keep busy, but I play guitar a lot now, which is what I formed the band in the first place, started playing in bands in the first place, because that's all I wanted to do was play the guitar. You know, didn't really want to be a singer. Everything that I do is mostly so I could play the guitar. know, writing songs instead of learning somebody else's song, write your own song, you know? And instead of finding a singer, you know, because you can't find one, then you sing. But it's all been just really so I could play guitar. So I've been doing that a lot thanks to the pandemic. So
you've your first true love, the guitar. So the guitar is that responsible for putting you through the hell of the music business.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, sure. It's the guitar's fault. Yeah, yep.
The things you do for love, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, all the cliches are true, and you can think of the guitar that way too. It's just like that. It's a love affair. It's an awesome instrument, and you just never stop learning, man. Like there's no okay, you're done, you learned enough. No, there's always something more to know, something more to learn, something you didn't think about, haven't thought of, that was there in front of you the whole time. You know, it's just like that, and it's a cool thing, and I recommend, you know, learning an instrument to anybody or learning any kind of art form, you know, that has a discipline and ways to do things and ways not to do things and rules to deliberately break and all that stuff. I recommend it. It's really good for you.
Break all the rules.
Learn them and then break them. Eat the rules. Yeah.
There you go. I love it. Cool. So anything else you want to touch on?
That's pretty much everything, man. You know, I just wish everybody the best of luck out there. I know it's real tough. You know, we're going to get through it, hopefully sooner rather than later. You know, but yeah, I mean, I see it. It's terrible. And, you know, we just got to grin and bear it for now.
I know what I want to touch on. There's a couple of things, too, just popped in my head. So there was a video for one of the songs you did way before the album came, at least probably a year before. Any other music videos in the pipeline?
Actually, that's a great question. I have at least two and any other ideas I could come up with, but I have a lot of footage. People are going to love this, man. I have a lot of footage of the band recording the songs. So yeah, I want to make an epic trailer with just the guys in the band in the studio, you know, playing the songs. And it's going to be really dope, but maybe it'll make it like a 2-minute epic thing. So I have some great footage. That'll be a cool one. And I have another couple of ideas for some videos, but yeah, you know, I'm just trying to find a way to, you know, stay creative and keep busy and keep the name out there, you know?
Absolutely. And the website's been redone. I saw
the compulsion. That's right. Yeah. What's that?
The compulsionsnyc.com.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it, but there was a mishap with the website recently. So I was kind of out of commission for a minute. But it seems like it's back and bigger and better and badder than ever. So check out that website, thecompulsionsnyc.com. Yeah. So thank you for mentioning.
Now, do you have physical copies of Ferocious out there?
Right now, you know, when we go on a tour, I would definitely have all that. But right now, if people want to get a hard copy, Amazon On Demand will send them to you. It's about a 3 or 4 week kind of delay, I think. Okay. But they will get that to you. So
cool.
Yes.
Cool. So stream it away then. Spotify.
There's all that. There's the Spotify's, the Pandora's, the help me out here, Apple Music, iTunes, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems there's more and more streaming services than anything.
Yeah. I got to get up on that.
Rob, thanks for doing this, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah. It's always a blast.
Yeah, and we get some more 10 out of 10s.
Yeah. I think we gotta stop sending out for reviews because I'm gonna push my luck if we keep going.
You might get an 8.5 or something. Cool. Hang tight. I want to say something to you. Everybody, check out Rob the Compulsions, compulsionsnyc.com. Check them out on Spotify. The new album Ferocious is out. It kicks freaking ass. 10 out of 10, according to Power Play Magazine. And they're not wrong. So there you go.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, man.
Absolutely.
Take care.